Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there. Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams, or dieting at all, so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. So I am a little late today, got stuck in horrible LA traffic. So hopefully you guys are with me, and let's just dive right in. If you would like to join me today, the number is 818-602-4929, 818-602-4929. Again, it is not what you are eating that is the true, real problem. It is what's eating at you. And I welcome you and invite you to call in and talk about what's going on inside, and let's see how that is manifesting in your relationship with food. Because when we change thoughts, we change feelings, then we change behavior, because thoughts and beliefs lead to emotions, lead to behavior. If we just focus on the behavior, nothing's gonna change for good. And it's all about willpower, and you're white-knuckling it through life, and that's not good. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. Okay, so last week I started talking about some of the feelings that lead to the behavior of binge eating, stress eating, emotional eating. We talked about anger last week, and another one is sadness. Now, sadness, people often think sadness is depression. It can be depression. Depression is a form of sadness, but you could be sort of gloomy or down or glum or hurt or dejected or depressed. You could be grieving. These are all forms of sadness. And so think about, if sadness is difficult for you, why is that? A lot of people find it very hard to be sad because sad is kind of a passive feeling, whereas anger is an active emotion. So sometimes when we're hurt, we get mad instead of sad, because getting mad feels more active, it feels more alive, it feels like, and that sort of counters the vulnerability and the pain of sadness. Also, another trigger that leads to food issues is, believe it or not, happiness. Now, often people say, what are you talking about? Happiness is a good thing. All I want is to be happy. Like, let me be happy. Well, sometimes, like unbeknownst to you, you might be afraid of being happy because the rug's going to get pulled out from underneath you. You might be afraid that you're going to lose that good feeling, so you sabotage yourself. And again, this is out of awareness, not out of operation. It's not like you're consciously thinking, oh, I'm really afraid that if I let myself get too happy that something bad is going to happen. I mean, you might have that conscious thought, but often people don't have that thought. They just think, let me be happy. But then when they are happy, or they get close to being happy, or they reach their goal weight or what have you, they start sabotaging themselves. And I have found that a fear that feeling good is going to lead to feeling bad is sometimes a cause for, you know, you take it away from yourself if you're worried about your weight. You're worried about what you're eating, and you're worried about your weight, and you're kind of focusing on all of those things. You're not going to be feeling too good, right? So you're trying to help yourself by hurting yourself, if that makes sense. Like, if you don't step into paradise, you can't be kicked out of paradise. And if you're doing it to yourself, it's not going to come out of the blue. Also, with respect to happiness being a trigger, food is associated with celebration and reward. Like, what happens on birthdays? We get birthday cake. Every time someone achieves something, you graduate, you get married, wedding cake. I mean, there's always food involved in celebration. So if food is associated with celebration and happiness in that way, it's hard not to overeat at those times. Sometimes that can be a problem. So those are just some things to think about. And remember, when you can identify the triggers that are leading you to food, instead of thinking that food is the trigger, you're going to really start noticing what's going on in your head and your heart. And when you directly can attend to those things, guess what? You're not going to be triggered by those situations, and you're not going to turn to food to escape the yucky feeling of sadness or anger or the fear that is associated with happiness. So that is how you make peace with food, or part of it. All right. So another question that I get quite often has to do with body image, self-acceptance. And I'm often asked, well, how can I hate my body. I feel disgusting. How can I love myself when I hate my body? So I want to talk a little bit about how to love your body even if you don't love your body. Because a lot of us yearn to have a different body while ignoring the one we actually have. And so many of us are just waging war against our bodies. It's almost like you and your body are two different entities, and you're hating on your body, and you hate your body, you want to whip your body into shape, and your body betrays you because you get hungry, and it's horrible. Plus, social media, which, you know, there's so much good about social media. I don't want to trash social media. I mean, here I am on Instagram Live and Facebook Live, but there is a downside to everything, and social media is also filled with photos of people who are doing bad diets, starving themselves, going to all kinds of extreme measures because they are desperate to change their weight, desperate to change their appearance. And all too often, we hold ourselves up to this idea of physical perfection. I'm not perfect enough, right? I have to be perfect. What the hell is perfect? And we find fault with ourselves when we fail to meet the goal of perfection, which again, you can't meet that goal. You can never be perfect. And by the way, like, how boring would it be to be perfect? Whatever perfect is. Just seems like what's the point? And then what? Oh, so you have the perfect body. And then what? You still got issues in your life. You still got, you know, kids to get ready for school. You still got dates to go on. Not necessarily the same person having those two things happening. But, you know, there's life. Life happens no matter what condition your body is in. So to create a more peaceful and realistic way of relating to ourselves, we've got to challenge the notion that there is only one good way to have a body. And we got to even challenge the notion of, you know, what is a good body? What is that? So that we can cherish and nurture the bodies we have. Because guess what? When you are wanting to take care of your body and you like the feeling of nourishing and nurturing your body, you're not going to binge, because that's a self-abandonment. You're going to want to take care of yourself. So how to love your body? I've got some tips for you. Tip number one, appreciate yourself. Now, a lot of people, when they think of their self, when they think of their selves, they only think about the person in the mirror. And we are so much more than the person in the mirror. We are so much more than our size, our appearance, the number on the scale, the number in our genes. I've talked about this before, about a woman who told me that she was the queen of self-care, quote unquote, the queen of self-care, didn't understand why she felt so bad about herself. So I'm like, you know, well, I wanted to say, well, your worship, because I am a Harrison Ford fan and a Star Wars fan. So just a little something that Harrison Ford sent to Princess Leia, your worship. I wanted to say, well, queen of self-care, you know, what makes you the queen of self-care? And she said, well, she gets regular pedicures and manicures and facials and massages, and she gets dermaplaning and, you know, all these things that she was doing. And I was like, that is not self-care. She's like, what are you talking about? Of course that's self-care. What else is it? I said, that's grooming. That is grooming. That is not self-care. So for her, the challenge was really realizing that there was so much more to her than meets the eye. Same with all of us. And often we take care of our bodies, and maybe we even have a body we feel good about. Doesn't mean we feel good about ourselves. There is this illusion that if you have a body you feel good about, you're going to feel good about your whole self. Doesn't work. You're just you. You're just thinner. So always keep in mind that you have a body, but you also have a mind. So there are intellectual parts of you, emotional, relational, creative, spiritual parts of yourself, a whole range of qualities that make you the person you are. So you got to make it a point, guys. You got to really make it a point and put some effort into identifying, embracing, and nurturing all these parts of yourself. They all need your appreciation. Because when you feel good about your whole self, you don't just focus on weight as a way to define yourself. And that's how, you know, you may not be happy with your body as it is, but if you're generally happy with yourself, it's going to bother you less. And then you're going to be able to take steps to take good care of yourself. Second tip, how to love your body, listen to your body. The human body is amazing. It has so much to communicate if only we are willing to listen. Now, when we tune into our bodies, we learn to recognize its needs. Your body will tell you what kind of food it requires, what kind of exercise you need, what kind of sleep you need, how much, how little. When we really are listening and attuned to our bodies, we get so much information. So one significant roadblock to listening to your body is being on a diet. Diets don't work. Diets ultimately fail you. I don't care if you lose a bunch of weight on a diet. A diet will eventually backfire. And diets fail for reasons that are both physiological and psychological. So diets are often restrictive, leads to hunger, slows your metabolism. And when you don't get enough calories, your metabolism gets more efficient. It slows down. That means you need fewer calories coming in just to maintain the weight that you are. And when you go off that diet, your metabolism is slower. So now you gain weight more easily because you now need fewer calories just for maintenance. So that's a bummer, right? So physiologically, diets mess you up. In fact, the first chapter in my new book, holding it up, The Binge Cure, 7 Steps to Outsmart Emotional Eating. It is now available on Amazon, and I hope you'll check it out. I'm super excited about it because I am taking all the knowledge that I tell you guys and all the knowledge of my 18 years as a psychoanalyst, psychotherapist, and I put it in this book. And it's the first book that I've written for mainstream readers. My other books are more kind of academic crossovers. So I wanted them to be user-friendly. I wanted them to be relatable. But this is even more relatable. So the first chapter is on why diets fail. And I have a lot of research in there that shows that actually diets not only fail, but people gain weight in the long run the more that they diet. So we don't want to diet. So there's also the psychology of eating issues. Diets fail because on some level they are about deprivation, and the anticipation of deprivation or the experience of deprivation almost always leads to overeating, binge eating, and so forth. Because if you're thinking about not eating pizza, ice cream, or anything with a carb, you got food on the brain all day, and that puts the focus on the wrong thing, which is what you're eating instead of why. Diets do not address the underlying issues that make you turn to food in the first place. And there are so many reasons why you are turning to food. Remember, if you are turning to food, you are turning away from something else. And there are many reasons why you may be turning to food. Wanting comfort, wanting distraction, numbing out, symbolically filling an inner emptiness, turning emotional pain into physical pain, calming down. a lot of people, when they're anxious, they eat a bunch of carbs, and they physically feel they feel that sort of relaxation that comes from eating a bunch of carbs, trying to quiet their minds by quieting their bodies. So the good news is that when you stop dieting and start responding to yourself in a new way with food that is healthy and nourishing, and you start feeding yourself a kind, loving attitude, you will stop using food for comfort or distraction. And then your weight can stabilize, and you can feel healthy and happy. That's what it's all about. You don't want to spend every day thinking about all of this, worrying about what you're eating, going out to dinner and going like, oh, I don't want to eat in front of anyone, or I can't order that, or I shouldn't eat that, or if I eat that, people will judge me, or if I eat that, I'm going to gain 10 pounds tomorrow morning. You don't want that on your mind. You have other things to think about, other much more important things, things that will make you feel better in your life, feel better about yourself. You have fun. But you want to have fun in your life. You don't want to obsess about every calorie. My next tip is to accept your emotions. So, as you know, I've treated thousands of men and women, mostly women, but some men, all over the world in my online program, in my private practice. My online program, Kick the Diet Habit, it's all about not dieting and then what to do instead. And I have seen a major commonality in all these thousands of people all over the world. I think like 19 different countries are in my program. So the commonality is that people don't know how to feel their feelings. And one reason is that our culture has a big problem with emotions. You know, like this is something I've been talking about, you know, last week in the beginning of today's show. We make feelings bad and scary. We are scared of our feelings, so we try not to feel them, and if we judge them, right? We judge them. Oh, you're angry. There's something wrong with you. You need an anger management class. And you're sad. You need a pill. You need an antidepressant. You're anxious. That's no good. You need to take a pill for that too. Just stop that. Just stop that feeling. We are told that we are weak if we feel our feelings, and we are strong if we don't. But you know what? Again, it takes a lot of strength to deal with painful, difficult emotions and situations. And what happens to these feelings that we don't let ourselves feel? You know, we cannot stuff our feelings down. We cannot starve them away. We can't drink them away. We can't gamble them away. We can't work them away. We can't let them go. We cannot positive think them away, by the way. Positive affirmations do not actually change the way you feel. In the long run, the only thing that works, the only way to get rid of feelings is to actually feel them. So you got to accept your emotions. You got to accept that you are a person who is having a reaction to a situation. If you are angry, for example, you're not an angry person. I've had many, many people say to me, I don't want to feel that because that would make me an angry person. And I'm not an angry person. No, you're not. You're a person who's angry. It's not your identity. It's a feeling. A feeling is a response to a situation, period. So we want to accept our emotions and be interested in them and give them our attention, not our condemnation. Then you're going to feel so much better. So accept those tears, accept those fears, accept everything you feel today. Every day, because ultimately emotions are not a sign that you are weak. They are a sign that you are human. And by accepting your emotions, you accept your humanity. And that is a good thing. So tune into your physical needs by avoiding restrictive diets and cultivating a more intuitive approach to your food choices. And then accept your emotions and attend to them instead of ignoring them. And when you can do that, you will transform your relationship to yourself, your feeling self, your thinking self. You will be responding to yourself instead of distracting yourself, instead of bailing on yourself and abandoning yourself by using food. Okay, Again, I invite you guys to join me today. The number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. Give me a call and let me know what is going on with you. All right. So here's a thought. I talk a lot about symbolism. What is the symbolism of, you know, weight? What is the symbolism of eating so much that your stomach hurts? It's not that you have no willpower. It may be that you are, again, converting emotional pain to physical pain. So as you know, I am into symbolism. So let me ask you this. Do any of these phrases sound familiar? I really need to lose 10, 20, 50, 100 plus pounds, whatever it is. Even five, even three. These thighs have got to go. I can't wait to get rid of this. And people are usually like holding parts of their body. I can't wait to get rid of the stomach. I can't wait to get rid of these thighs. Whatever it is. Now, so many of us believe that when we change our bodies, when we lose weight, when we get fitter, whatever it is that you want to achieve, whatever change you want to make physically, that our lives will improve. Again, we'll be more confident. We'll be outgoing. We'll be relaxed. So you may unconsciously believe that by controlling the number on the scale, you can manage many aspects of your life, including your likability and your lovability. Oh, I'll be so much more lovable. People will like me more if I'm thinner. I call this the great superpower illusion. It's an illusion. It is a fabulous illusion. Who wouldn't want to control other people and the world by controlling their weight? That is a great superpower to have. Oh, you don't like me? Well, I'm just going to lose weight and then you're going to like me. See how that works? Wouldn't that be nice? Except it doesn't actually work. So when weight symbolically represents the qualities you want to get rid of, like shyness, insecurity, anxiety, whatever it is, losing weight becomes equivalent to losing those unacceptable parts of yourself. Because it is easier to focus on losing weight than to think about shedding disappointments, fears, concerns, worries, anxieties, jealousies, resentments, whatever it is. A lot of times we don't want to think about that. So instead we focus on weight. So I want to challenge you today to identify the what you symbolically hope to lose or change by changing your body. So what are these bad parts of yourself you think you need to lose? Like, consider, like, what are these things about you that you think need to be different? Again, thinking symbolically. And imagine how you think you're going to be different if you're at a different weight. How will losing weight change you as a person? For example, someone might say something like, well, I think the worst part about me is that I'm insecure, and I imagine I'll be more confident when I lose weight. I'll be more social. I'll have more friends. I've heard a version of that kind of sentiment over and over and over and over and over. Well, you know, losing weight may cause you to feel more confident temporarily, but the insecurity usually shifts to something else. Then you start thinking, am I smart enough? Successful enough, something like that. And again, I have treated several people who encountered this phenomenon. Whereas they once worried about the size of their stomachs, after they lost weight, they became concerned with the size of their intellect or the quality of their friendships, or something else changed. It shifted to something else. So if they're insecure about one thing, now it's no longer weight, they become insecure about another thing. And therefore, it is crucial to address the underlying sense of insecurity and to look at how you became aware that these qualities you think are bad are unacceptable. And when you get very clear on the hidden reasons, the unconscious reasons you want to lose weight, you can challenge those reasons. You can challenge those ideas. If you listen to the show on a regular basis, I know that you are familiar with Nicole, who is often preoccupied with losing those last 5 pounds or the last 2 pounds or, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, she calls into the show all the time And we were always talking just on the surface, kind of about those last few pounds. But for her, they might as well have been 50 pounds. I mean, she's only talking about a few pounds, but she was desperate to lose those last few pounds. And in fact, here she is. Hold on. Nicole, you heard me talking about you on the show.
Yep. How are you?
I'm fine. What I was going to say, if you permit me to finish before you get to your question, what I was going to say was how we identified that you'd been overweight as a child, and from your perspective as a child, being chubby, a chub, as you put it, made you unlovable, right? So that the last few pounds were not really about the last few pounds. It was like the demarcation, the boundary between unlovable and lovable.
Oh, that's it. That's spot on. That's it.
So thanks for calling in, and you can speak to that yourself.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have another question or a thought or
no. I have another question, but yeah, that's completely it, and it's so crazy that those two things are related. That like the last 2 pounds or the last 3 pounds or the last 5 pounds is just the distinction of me feeling lovable versus non-lovable. Like that's so it, and it's so crazy to think that like 2 or 3 pounds could like make me feel that way. Like, why would I give that power? Why would I give such power to 2 or 3 pounds that could be fluctuated with like sushi intake the night before and soy sauce or like whatever, you know? It sounds so creepy.
It's not crazy.
And to be aware of that is a gift, I think.
Yes, because then you can challenge the idea of not being lovable as you are.
Yeah.
And I don't mean
and
just
I think
weight.
I am. Oh. Yeah. No, I definitely think I am. I'm lovable. There's so much to love about me.
Wait a minute. Wait. Say that again. You have to say that again with even more conviction.
There's so much that's lovable about me.
I need to hear more conviction. I want to hear more. Nicole, I'm putting you on the spot. You're in the hot seat. I want to hear something like this. There is so much to love about me.
There is. I'm free and I'm funny and I'm friendly and I'm lovable.
Yay. Yes. And you gotta believe you gotta keep saying it so you actually believe it while you are looking at the part of you. See, this is why mantras don't work. You could say, I'm lovable. If you don't believe it, you're never going to believe it. But if you say, a part of me thinks I'm lovable, but a part of me thinks I'm not, then you can challenge the part that thinks you're not.
Yeah.
How did I come to believe that? Where's that from?
Yeah.
What did I interpret?
Yeah. Okay. That's so true. That feels good, actually. I feel really lovable right now. But I still want to ask my question. Is that okay?
Of course.
Okay. So last night, I didn't eat like that much throughout the day, but then last night I kind of had a big dinner. I went to La Scala and I had a minestrone soup and I had a chicken chopped salad. And then I ended up having like a little bit of bread. Like I like the crust of the bread. So I had like some crust. And then after, I wasn't really craving dessert, but like I kind of just wanted to get it. I guess something was eating at me, so I felt like I needed to eat. But then I ended up getting a little bit of frozen yogurt from Co Greek. And then I just felt like it ended up being a lot of food at the end. Like I was like, why did I eat so much soup, salad, bread, yogurt? And like, I just don't want it to pour over into today. Like, I don't want to feel guilty about it.
Well, first of all, it sounds like you had dinner and dessert. I mean, it doesn't sound like you had like some giant. My question is, why do you think that's bad? We don't have to talk about the specifics of what you ate, but I can tell you, you had dinner. And you went to maybe you had dinner at a restaurant that was good. And maybe you want, sometimes dessert is just dessert. sometimes it's like if you already felt like, oh, you had all this big in your mind, this big dinner, you might as well. It's like having three cookies and then thinking, well, the day is blown. I
Yeah,
might as well
exactly. Let
have
me eat
all
the
of
whole
them.
pack. Yeah.
Exactly. So, but I want to. Here's the thing is, how hungry were you? And was it that you were hungry? And because sometimes when we're hungry, we eat more. You're
I was
judging.
really hungry. I was
Okay.
hungry because I had done a Zumba class in the morning that was really intense. And then I was so busy working the whole day, I didn't really have a real meal. So I guess I chastised myself for actually having a real meal. And then I didn't even have that much yogurt. I had 4 ounces of frozen yogurt and then like a few samples before. So it may have been like 6 ounces max, but I know it's like 50 calories an ounce. So if you do the math, that's like 300 calories in frozen yogurt. I hope it wasn't that much, but.
Okay, so stop counting calories
I know, I'm just saying.
and stop.
I mean, I'm an accountant. I'm a CPA. That's how my brain works.
Okay,
I count everything.
but count numbers on a I don't know, spreadsheet. Don't count the calories in what you're eating because what you're doing is you're saying, hey, I'm imposing something on myself where I should eat only this much, as opposed to what is the context? The context is you did a you worked out and you barely ate anything all day, so of course you're more hungry. So instead of I should only have this, how about I'm hungry, so I'm gonna eat until I'm not hungry anymore. Instead of oh,
Yeah.
but I had that.
But then today I feel bigger. Today I feel like, I don't know, my stomach, like I feel it. I feel the bread, I feel the yogurt. I feel it.
Okay, but this could be oh, caller, I see someone is trying to call in
Oh,
if you
okay.
no, I'm telling them. Hey, caller who's calling in, if you're listening, can you please wait till I'm done with Nicole? Hopefully, caller, you'll hear that. Nicole, look, if you weren't focusing on because remember there's a mind-body connection. So you have all this guilt about thinking you ate too much and now you're feeling like too much. Right? So if you
Yeah, so
weren't,
it's a feeling.
it's some kind of mind-body connection where you're imagining that because you ate what you ate, but
I'm bigger.
any dietitian will tell you could not have gained weight. If you're a little bloated from bread, maybe that's it, but you could not have gained weight from the day that you're describing. For each pound, you really have to have 3,500 extra calories.
Yeah,
So
there's no way.
there's
There's
no
no way.
way. So your
There's no
mind,
way. I didn't eat that much.
I think your
I'm
mind
lucky
is.
if I had like 1200 calories the whole day. I mean, not lucky, but I probably did not have more than 1200 calories.
So Nicole, your mind is telling you because you feel guilty for eating something that you think that you shouldn't have eaten without giving it context, without contextualizing it, which is that you were hungry. When we're hungry, we eat more. Period. It's our body. It's like what I was
But I
talking about
wasn't even
earlier.
hungry for the dessert, for the yogurt. Why did I get
Well, I suspect it's
it?
because you let yourself in your mind have this decadent dinner,
Bread.
and so you
Yeah.
might as well have dessert too, something like that.
A
But
yogurt too. That's what it was.
yes, and that's
Yeah.
you're making the point that deprivation or the anticipation of deprivation leads to eating more. Because if you have the idea that you could have frozen yogurt any day of the week or ice cream or
Time.
whatever, then you might not have wanted it. But because you
You're.
have.
Hello?
Oh, I'm here. I was
Dr.
just.
Nina?
Yeah, I'm
Okay, so I
here.
thought I lost you for a sec.
No, I'm here.
So I'm over it. I'm past it. I'm over it. I'm just gonna move on with my day. It was not a big deal. I was hungry. I was just listening to my hunger and feeding myself and fueling my body. And it's okay to, I don't want to say indulge, but it's okay to have that. If I had it, whatever. I didn't consume enough calories to even gain 1 pound. And I'm just going to move on with my day and move on with my week and be okay because I'm lovable and beautiful and smart. And I'm just going to go do well at work and live my life and be happy and not obsess over
I think
this.
that is a very good plan. Now let me ask you something. If you weren't waking up today and thinking about your dinner and frozen yogurt, what would you be thinking about? What would be on your mind that you'd be worried about?
Well, I'm hosting a dinner on Friday night, so I've been running around and trying to been focusing a lot on that and work and hitting my goals and my work goals and stuff like that. So dating, so I'm just gonna go back to that stuff. It's more important anyways. Who gives a shit about the 4 ounces of yogurt I had?
Yes, and you can also see how worrying about or obsessing about what you've eaten distracts you from other kinds of concerns. And they may or may not be super big. I mean, it may just be like, oh, I'm a little nervous about meeting my goals, or oh, I'm a little stressed. It doesn't have to be, this big, like, oh, if I don't. So if you were not worried about this, you would be thinking about hosting this dinner thing on Friday. You'd be thinking about work. So if you start thinking about that, how do you manage the stress of that?
I'll stop thinking about this.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
But
I got it.
what are your worries about these things? Like, do you have some concerns?
Just it getting done, doing a good job, having fun, enjoying. Not really food related.
Exactly.
Hello?
Yeah. See,
Yeah,
you're
that's
so
fine.
it getting done, and you just remind yourself, like, you can get things done. When you worry about things, oh, what if it doesn't get done, for example. Not that you're totally saying that, but then you just think, okay, what do I have to do? How many times have I had a task where I have to get things done? I can get things done. And then it feels more manageable.
Hey, thank you so much, Dr. Nina. I appreciate you as always.
You are very
I
Oh, thanks for calling, Nicole, and
you. Again.
have fun on your Friday
Thanks.
night party.
Yeah, I'll report about it next week. Hopefully, I don't have too many leftovers.
Oh, Nicole, you
I know we
what?
have to talk about that another time, though, because I have to go into a meeting.
Okay, we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Okay. So that was so with the timing of that, as I'm talking about Nicole, I love that she called. But her idea was that those extra few pounds made her unlovable. Once she recognized that idea was there, she could challenge it. You guys just heard her challenge it. I mean, I don't think she's fully on board with it 100%, but she's definitely actively challenging the idea that she's not good enough unless she weighs a certain amount. So as you could see, hidden beliefs, unconscious beliefs that are hidden in our minds, have a huge influence on our sense of selves. And once we bring the hidden ideas in out of the dark into the light, we can take action. We can challenge them. We can create change. So by making peace with ourselves, by changing the way that we relate to ourselves, we make peace with food as well. And yes, it becomes that easy at the end. It's very hard to change as you're going through it. Very, 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 very hard. But oh, another caller. Hi, caller, you're on with Dr. Nina. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Nina. Hey, this is Isabel calling.
Hi, Isabel.
Hi. I have a question, something that's been like bothering me. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, awesome. I've been like I'm trying to like be healthier and like lose weight, like that's obviously like comes along with it, but I find that like I self sabotage myself because I'm like scared of losing weight now because I'm just like nervous of like people making comments about how I've lost weight and like just commenting on my body and like telling me that I look healthier and stuff like that. Like it just makes me really nervous and like And I've like told people that before. I'll be like, oh, like it makes me really uncomfortable when you comment on my weight. You know, like I've said that to
Good
people,
for
but
you.
it's, I
Good
don't know.
for
It just
you.
like doesn't help. I was wondering what you think.
Well, yeah, I totally understand that because when someone says, I think what you're saying is that when someone says, wow, you look so great, you kind of feel like, how did I look before? Or now you feel like you're under a microscope or you're being observed somehow or even objectified. Are any of those striking a chord?
Yeah, that's like exactly how I feel.
And what comes to mind when you think about feeling, let's say, objectified, or which of those resonates the most of what I just said?
I think both like objectified, and I feel like people are just like watching like my weight and like just like. Yeah, like observing my body like too much and like I don't know, like it I just feel like people are just like fixated on my body too and it's like all right, well that's great, that makes two of us and it's just weird, you know.
And so what comes to mind when you think about being like under a spotlight and they're observing you? It sounds like it's very uncomfortable, understandably, to feel like you're under observation and they're just in almost like inspecting you. That's my association to what you're saying. What comes to mind about when you have experienced that feeling, at any other time other than when people are making those comments? Is there anything familiar about that feeling?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I made like I was like when I was younger, I was like fat shamed by my dance teacher in front of everyone, and she kind of did that, and it was really uncomfortable. So, like I don't know if that like still affects me today. Like I've like talked about that with another therapist and she thought it was still affecting me, so I don't really know.
Well, when we have early experiences, how old were you when you were fat shamed by your dance teacher?
I was like 8 or 9.
Yeah, that's really young to feel. So you're in dance class, and other girls are there, and the dance teacher says something to make you kind of stand out and feel bad about yourself. And before she did that, how did you feel about yourself?
I mean, I still like didn't like my body before that. Like I started not liking my body when I was like really young. I was like 6, I think.
Okay, so then it goes from you not liking your body to now the whole class is staring at you, and now it's like you've been outed by this dance teacher and this adult who you would think, I would think, would be there to make you feel safe, suddenly is the one who makes you feel terrible about yourself.
Yeah.
So it's not. I think what you're talking about is this experience of mistrust. You can't trust that you could be safe with people. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I don't know. It just makes me really uncomfortable when people comment on my weight. 'Cause I feel like they're just like calling me like fat, you know, or just like. I don't know, it just makes me feel really bad.
It's like they were saying,
Like,
oh,
even if they're being like, oh, you look so much better, or if they're like, oh, it looks like you've lost weight, or you look healthy, like, it just makes me feel really bad, I don't know.
Yeah, because the unspoken thing is, wow, you were overweight before and now you're not. That it's like you looked bad before and now you look good. That's sort of what they
Pretty
might,
much, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, and, like, I usually, like, we'll gain the weight back and then it's like really awkward.
Right. So okay. So then it's a whole thing because then are they gonna. What are they going to think if they saw you and they thought you looked thinner and now you're not? So I can see how this would be very upsetting, especially if you had that experience with a dance teacher and got publicly sh body shamed. So recognizing this is good. It also sounds like you've been saying things to them, you've been speaking up, which is really good. Like you didn't you say that you say things like, "Hey, please don't talk about my body," or "I don't really feel comfortable about that. Thank you, but please don't make comments."
Yeah, like a lot of people know, but like I don't know, like I don't know if certain people are just like so out of control that they can't like hear me out. Like I don't know if that's what's going on, but it's like I don't know, it's like a lot of people do it and it's just not helpful. Like I don't know why people like have to say anything, you know.
I know, I'm with you. I don't know why anyone has to say anything. There's so much more to say than to talk about someone's appearance. What do you do with your feelings of whatever it is, resentment or, and whatever the upset feeling that you have when they make those comments? There's what you're saying to them, but there's also how you feel. So how do you deal with how you feel?
I don't know. I don't know. It usually just makes me really like upset and just like I obviously feel like nervous about myself and I don't know. I feel like it's nothing productive comes of it.
So let me ask you something. If you could go back in time, if you and I, if you and I could go back in time to that dance class and meet your 8-year-old self who's getting body shamed, what would you and I say to her? She's feeling really bad about herself. She's mortified. She's embarrassed. She's cringing. She feels terrible. She feels shame. What are you saying? What are you going to say to her?
I would feel really bad for her, and like I think it's really awful that a adult would say that to a child, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, she like made like an example of me. She like had us all like huddle up in a circle, and she was like, "So I'm gonna talk about like the importance of like being fit." And then she's like, "I don't know." She just like called me out. She's like, "Isabel, like you need to like exercise like a lot more clearly. Like you need to lose some weight." And like I don't know. Like
Ugh,
she's made like a
horrible.
whole like thing about it, and it was like a lot more awkward than I'm describing. Like I'm not describing it
Okay. Oh
accurately,
no, you
but
are.
I just
You
like I
are.
don't know. Like if she wants to say something, like she at least could have done it like in private, or it's just, I don't know.
So
It wasn't helpful.
here's what I'm getting at it. I would say to little Isabel, Isabel, boy, this is a horrible situation, and of course you feel terrible, but don't, of course you feel terrible. She's calling you out and shaming you in front of your friends, in front of this class. That's an awful, awful
I can't
feeling.
hear you. It's kind of quiet.
You can't hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay. I would say, little Isabel, this is a horrible situation. Your dance teacher is shaming you in front of your friends, in front of your class. Of course you feel terrible. But this terrible feeling doesn't define you. You are still a likable, lovable, good kid. And this hurts. You're not always going to feel this way, but right now, of course, this is really painful and hurtful. Now, why do I want to go back in time and sort of soothe and respond your younger self? Because I think you need to do that for yourself now. When people make comments,
It's kind of quiet again. I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm talking.
I don't know what's happening. Gosh, Ronan, if you can hear me, maybe things are kind of going in and out. But what about now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. So what I was saying is, right now, you need to say to yourself when these things happen the same thing that you would say to your child self. What's missing is responding to yourself. Like, yeah, I don't like that. That feels bad. What do I need right now to make me feel more comfortable? Not food, but something else. What's going to make you feel better? And so that instead of just, oh, I don't like that, and I hate that they do that, it's great that you're saying whatever it is that you're saying to these people, but you also need to respond to yourself in a different way. right? You need to be able to reassure yourself and be kind to yourself and validate what it is that you're feeling. That's going to make you feel better in the moment so that you're just not stuck with these icky feelings.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I'm already like feeling more compassionate for myself. Yeah, it's like it is really rude for people to do that, especially like not knowing like people's like history or just like not even being aware of how like inappropriate it is to like be like obsessed with other people's bodies like that, you know, that you like
Yes.
feel the need to comment.
Exactly. So I want to just congratulate you for having the courage to speak up to them. That is not always easy. And encourage you to be kind to yourself, compassionate to yourself. When someone makes you feel bad, even if they don't mean to, it feels bad. And then you need to like address that in a compassionate, kind, responsive way. So, and I know that a lot of people can relate to what you're saying. I a lot of listeners out there, I'm so glad that you called because so many people experience this. It's like, oh, thanks. And then you just, it's like the one of those compliments that also makes you feel bad. So I want to thank you for bringing this really relatable topic to the show today. And will you call back and let me know how it goes with being responsive to yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna think about things. It's something that really bothers me. So
Yeah,
cool.
call me back
Thank
anytime.
you.
You are so welcome.
Awesome.
All right, take care, Isabel.
It was great to talk to you.
Nice to talk to
Bye.
you too. Bye-bye. Oh. And that is our show for today. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm here live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, and you can listen later on any place where you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere. And again, I want to let you know about my new book, The Binge Cure: 7 Steps to Outsmart Emotional Eating. It is available. I'm kind of holding it up, but there's a glare there if you could see it on Instagram, Facebook. It's available on Amazon, and I hope if you get it, let me know what you think. All right, I'll see you guys next week. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.